From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A little noticed financial analysis of a single-payer system by the Congressional Budget Office has concluded that transitioning to a government-run healthcare system would significantly reduce healthcare spending in the nation. Coming at a time when the U.S.'s medical infrastructure is under severe strain, the analysis is important and is considered the most exhaustive of recent studies on the subject. My guest has analyzed the financial report. Matt Brunig is president of People's Policy Project. He previously worked as a lawyer at the National Labor Relations Board and as a policy analyst at the Demos think tank. Welcome to the program, Matt.
Thank you for having me.
So first, what exactly did the CBO look at when they examined a single payer or Medicare for All system?
Yeah, so the way that you would typically analyze something like this is you would first figure out how much are we already going to spend. And so they focused on the year 2030, and they did some projections based on data from the Center on Medicare and Medicaid Studies. And they determined that under current law, under our current system, in 2030, we would spend about $6.6 trillion on healthcare. That's including Medicaid, Medicare, military healthcare, as well as private insurance and out-of-pocket spending. So from there, you then say, okay, let's say we did all the changes that single-payer advocates want. So bringing everyone into one national government plan, funding it with taxes instead of premiums, bringing cost sharing like deductibles and co-pays and co-insurance, bringing them way, way down. What would the net effect of all that be, right? We know more people would have health care, so more people would probably go to the doctor. All else equal, that would drive costs up. But we also know that we're not having to spend money on insurance company profits. We're not having to spend money on armies of billing workers that work in medical establishments. And we're able to spend less money on drugs and have lower provider reimbursement rates. So you throw all that into a blender and what comes out of it. And what they found is, on they scored five different scenarios, but the scenario that was the closest to what Medicare for All advocates propose, under that proposal, total health spending would go to $5.9 trillion. So we're talking about a savings of around $650 billion just in 2030. That's 1 year of savings, and that's covering everyone, but still achieving those kinds of savings.
And that shouldn't be surprising, because when you take away all the ideological rhetoric, a simplified system that removes profit from the equation, that removes administrators who have to deal with health insurance, reimbursements from the equation, you would imagine, and of course, expensive emergency room visits, because now people might actually go see a doctor before their issues become emergencies, all of that, you can imagine it makes sense that it would result in lower costs. How does this analysis compare to earlier analyses that opponents of single payer have used to claim it is far too expensive?
So there have been other analyses that showed something similar. So there was an analysis from the Perry Institute, which is at UMass, and they found that they had a similar conclusion. There was also an analysis from the Mercatus Center, which is a right-wing think tank, and one of their models actually reached a somewhat similar conclusion. But then there have been a lot of studies from organizations like the Urban Institute, from a health economist named Thorpe, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting his first name now, and from the RAND Institute. And those, the other ones have tended to show that no single payer is going to cost a lot more than our current system. And one of the big things that differs in the CBO analysis from those analyses is the CBO projects that the administrative expenses of the insurer, so how much money are we spending on the insurance company, essentially, which in the Medicare for All system would be the Medicare agency, how much money are we going to actually have to spend on that? And these other projections have always said, oh, it's going to be 6% or maybe even more than 6%. And Medicare for All advocates have said, no, look at Medicare right now, it's only 2%. And one of the interesting things the CBO did, which I've not seen any other study do, is they actually went to the Medicare, you know, the Medicare bureaucracy, and they said, we want to see how your administrative expenses work. What do you actually pay people in this agency to do? We know it's only 2%. You're only spending 2% of Medicare dollars on this bureaucracy, but what are they doing? And what they found is that, in fact, a lot of what even the Medicare bureaucracy does would not be necessary under Medicare for All, because they're doing things like collecting premiums for Medicare Part B, and they're doing things like figuring out eligibility for people who are disabled. Are they disabled enough? There are all these kind of rules around the edges that require a lot of government administrators. And so what they found is that, no, in fact, if we went to a Medicare for All system, not only would we not only would it not be 6% administrative costs, it wouldn't even be 2% administrative costs. It would be more like 1.5% or 1.8% administrative costs. And they seem like small numbers, but when you're talking about $6.6 trillion, they're not small numbers. They're hundreds of billions of dollars a year.
What prompted the CBO analysis? This is a Congressional Budget Office, which is a really important first step for any bill when it is being discussed as a way to explain to lawmakers what the costs are for the taxpayer.
Yeah, I actually don't know why this was produced. I wasn't expecting it to come out. It kind of just dropped in our lap.
Right.
So, you know, normally they will do analyses based on a congressional inquiry. Usually a bill has to be drafted, and you'll send them a bill and you'll say, tell me what this bill is going to cost. They did not. This is not based on a bill. I don't know if someone requested this. It just
sort of
came out there.
Right, because a lawmaker, a senator, or a member of the House can request an analysis based on something they outline as a policy in a piece of legislation, and which sort of led me to wonder if there was a new effort around this, but you're saying that you don't know of any.
I do not know of any. And normally, you know, if you don't have a bill, normally the CBO, you know, they have limited resources themselves. So they're typically not inclined to just kind of do research studies. You know, they're typically inclined to prioritize bills that are written and that are, you know, really being considered. This one is not even of a bill. So I don't really know what happens. I know there was, I want to say maybe a year or two ago, there was a little bit of a discussion that Republicans were trying to, you know, get a Medicare for All bill like to the floor. And I don't know, like maybe they were trying to scheme to embarrass Medicare for All advocates. And I don't know if this came out of that. They don't explain it at all in any of this CBO stuff. But that's the only thing I could think of, like in the reasonable timeline, is that actually Republicans requested this because they wanted to show how expensive it would be, you know.
Right. It's all a socialist plot to take over America. One of the things that has gone the direction that Medicare for All supporters would like to see is President-elect Joe Biden's choice of Javier Becerra as a potential Health and Human Services Secretary. Becerra says he has been supportive of a single-payer healthcare system for many years, and he's, of course, California Attorney General. And he could, as Health and Human Services head, I understand, give waivers to states to enact their own single-payer systems. I know California, there have been a lot of advocates in California who've been asking for that. Do you think that that's a move in the right direction for Biden administration? Even though, of course, Biden himself says that he doesn't like Medicare for All.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there certainly were a lot more, a lot of options that are worse than he is. And yeah, I mean, as HHS secretary, he can't, you know, bring the whole system to single payer unilaterally. That would take an act of Congress. But he does have certain powers that would allow states to do these demonstration projects, which would allow them to bring in money that they currently give into the federal government in the form of like Medicare taxes, Medicaid taxes. They would be able to bring that back into their state and then create a single payer system there. And so, you know, it looks like that would be something he'd be willing to do. Frankly, it seemed like even in the Obama administration that HHS was at least open and willing to do that for a state that got to that point. It's just that no state ever did. So, yeah, I think it's good. And there are other things that they can do as well. You can get a waiver, for example, to expand Medicaid and CHIP to all children or everyone below the age of 26, as some states have kicked around. So even short of Medicare for All, there are big public health expansions that are conceivable that need a waiver to really be practical. And so if he's someone willing to write, you know, issue those waivers, then that's good news.
And of course, at a time when the country is experiencing its worst healthcare crisis, its worst health crisis in a generation, with our medical system stretched to its limit, I just imagine what position we would have been in had we already had a Medicare for All system. Looking at the UK, for example, its National Health Service as a streamlined national service has been able to not just take on the care that COVID-19 patients need, but are also able to oversee in a systematic fashion a vaccination program, right? I mean, we don't know here in the United States how our vaccinations, now that we have a vaccine, how those are going to be rolled out. It's going to be left up to the states, which is a patchwork of, you know, systems of private and public healthcare systems. If we already had a Medicare for All system in place, I imagine that the costs to states, to the federal government, of this pandemic would have been significantly lower than they are now.
Certainly. I mean, in some sense, you know, like there wouldn't be a cost spike, right? So if everyone was on health insurance and we understood on public health insurance, we understood that's just kind of how it is, then in recessions, you wouldn't have problems like we have now, where we had 30 plus million people go out of work and tens of millions, we're not sure exactly how many just yet, but tens of millions lost their insurance in that process because they get their insurance through their employers. Those individuals then, if they're, you know, sophisticated, maybe go on to Medicaid, maybe get a plan on the Obamacare exchanges. That now means we're having to spend more on Medicaid, we're spending more on the Obamacare subsidies. And so now that kicks in. And yeah, I mean, aside from the public finance aspect of it, that's just not a great way to deal with a pandemic, to throw tens of millions of people off their health insurance.
So do you think that this Congressional Budget Office analysis could offer fodder for advocates of Medicare for All in a Biden administration? You know, as I said, it hasn't been noticed very much. And a huge part of the fight around any kind of a change like this or transition like this involves public education, involves awareness, involves almost a cultural shift, right?
Yeah, no, I think this report is very helpful. I mean, certainly, you know, we couldn't expect, I don't think, anything to happen under Biden per se. But the media, you know, as someone who's been advocating Medicare for All from a sort of think tank position for many, many years, the problem you run into the media over and over again is you can produce these reports and you can say, hey, no, I actually think it's going to save money. And they just kind of wave you off as sort of silly and left wing and ridiculous, you know, like, well, no, we have these other think tanks and they're much, much more serious. And they say it's going to be very expensive. But to have the CBO, who, by the way, is currently run by a Republican, come out and say, well, no, we looked into this pretty seriously, and we think it will save money, hundreds of billions of dollars a year. Like, I think that's, you know, this is going to be a Trump card in some level, to the extent that we, you know, debate things in public, to be able to say, I don't know, the CBO, their study is the best so far, and they're on our side, so.
There has been very, very little analysis of the CBO study on Medicare for All outside of your analysis. And it seems as though this is just sort of ready for advocates to take on. Of course, there could be a reintroduction of legislation under the Biden administration. Do you have any sense that Senator Bernie Sanders might reintroduce his Medicare for All bill in the Senate?
Yes, I'm sure we'll get a Senate reintroduction of Medicare for All, and we'll get a House reintroduction of Medicare for All. I think Pramila Jayapal runs that now in the House. I'm sure we'll get those reintroduced. We do every 2 years. We'll see. You know, it'll be interesting to see how many co-sponsors line up on it, and to see if we've made some progress, you know, over the last 2 years, or if things have gone backwards. I don't know.
Now, Matt, the right-wing anti-Medicare for All approach to denouncing the system generally relies on a bizarre a sleight of hand because they look at the overall cost of a Medicare for All system, compare it to the current government costs of the system, and say, look, this one is so much larger than that one, we can't afford it, because they never account for the savings from a Medicare for All system. And in fact, Steve Womack, who is a Republican from Arkansas, a congressional member, has released a report on, or just put out a press release rather, on the CBO report. And he gets a very different takeaway from what you put out. He says that the CBO confirmed that such irresponsible proposals as Medicare for All would add estimated costs ranging between a staggering $1.5 trillion and $3 trillion to the federal budget per year. The negative impact on Americans is even higher than these astounding numbers, et cetera, et cetera. And then he goes on to wax about a government takeover of our healthcare. So even though the CBO comes to these conclusions, opponents of Medicare for All seem to find a way to spin it in their direction.
Yeah, I mean, one of the big impediments that we have in our public messaging is that people sometimes like to fixate on, you know, do the dollars appear on the federal budget or not? And say that is the key number. But, you know, it really doesn't matter to me whether or not I pay tax into a government that then insures me, or if the employer takes money out of my paycheck and sends it to a private company that insures me. Like, from a dollars perspective, that's all money out of my pocket, you know? But it turns out that I could actually have more money in my pocket if we went through the public insurer, because we would save $600 billion a year. You know, and at the end of the day, if we can get this across to people, you will have the same insurance or better, and you will have more money in your pocket. It is true that you will pay higher tax, but that higher tax will be lower than the amount that you will save from not having to pay for premiums and deductibles and co-pays and co-insurance. So, you know, it's a little complicated. You got to get people to understand, you know, that what matters is the total cost, not what channels that cost is going through, whether it goes to an insurance company account or a treasury account. That doesn't matter so much as the total cost. And, you know, we got to get that across to people. And definitely the opponents, I would say in bad faith, tried to confuse people on that.
And so there you go. This is where you need that kind of responsible journalism on these issues that makes a huge difference, right? I mean, we see, unfortunately, our corporate media ignoring either these sorts of financial analyses, or when they do cover them, resorting to the same Republican talking point or conservative Democrat talking point of, well, how much will it cost the government, and not digging into these issues. They set the cultural conversation around this by how media coverage covers these stories.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people in the media, they don't feel comfortable with these subjects, aside from, I think, in general, being more conservative than, you know, say, me and other Medicare for All advocates. I think they're easily tricked on some level. You know, I mean, not everyone is a healthcare economist or can go through these 200-page reports and feel comfortable reporting on them. They need someone to tell them what it means. And oftentimes, people who line up to tell them what it means, even some people in liberal organizations, like to emphasize things that don't really matter because they have particular goals in mind. So, yeah, I mean, media education is big on this. And, you know, I think we've done a little bit of decent work in getting people to understand you need to look at the total cost, but we got to keep drilling that in so that, you know, we don't keep getting headlines that say things like Medicare for All will cost $30 trillion or something like that, even though, you know, you then peer behind the headline and it's, oh, actually I save money.
Mm-hmm. You know, so. And so the takeaway from the CBO report is the one line headline that you would like to see would be, what's the CBO shows Medicare for All would save $650 billion a year. Like, imagine seeing a headline like that, say, in the New York Times. That would be refreshing. Is that what you'd like to see?
Absolutely. Or I would go even further, or maybe to make it even more tangible to people, and take that number and divide it by the population. I can't do that in my head. I think it's $2,000, and say CBO shows that Medicare for All will save the average person $2,000 a year.
Right. Make it tangible for Americans. And of course, at a time when we're talking about this debate around stimulus checks, why there's never money for that. But there's always money for tax breaks for the wealthy. This sort of analysis and approach to covering it could be a huge game changer. But already, I mean, in spite of the poor coverage, media coverage of Medicare for All, it is still surprisingly popular, right? When pollsters ask people.
Yeah, I mean, it's still above water, it's still above 50%. And I think actually it went up a little bit during the pandemic recession. Not surprisingly, of course, with tens of millions of people losing their health insurance, it sounds a little bit better to say to have a program that's not tied to your job. So it's still quite popular, but we face an uphill battle in DC, I guess, more than anything.
And I'm wondering also if you think that the conversation around healthcare and the government's responsibility for covering healthcare during the pandemic offers fodder for advocates for Medicare for All. During the debates, Joe Biden made it very clear that the government should pay for COVID treatment. I imagine somebody who's, going through chemotherapy right now because of cancer is asking, well, why is the government not paying for my treatment too? Just because I was unlucky in getting cancer and not COVID, the vaccinations are likely going to be covered by government costs. All of a sudden, during the pandemic, when this healthcare crisis is on the horizon, people don't think of the government covering healthcare costs as dangerously socialistic and a government takeover of healthcare. But then, when you want it covered overall, those nonsensical oppositions come up.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of status quo bias in the way that we think about things. So when, we have this brand new pandemic that we've never seen before, it's very novel, and you're able to kind of look at it with fresh eyes. You look at it and you say, well, yes, of course, anyone who gets COVID, we need to take care of them. They shouldn't have to, pay all their money out, or if they don't have money, can't go to a doctor, they shouldn't have to pay for a vaccine. Like, of course, we should do those things. Because that's novel and it's presented to you and you can sort of analyze it fresh, but then we don't take that reasoning and apply it backwards and say, well, what about people who are diabetic? What about people who have other chronic illnesses? What about people who, like you said, are suffering from cancer? We don't do that because we're just used to it. And so, possibly, activists could really draw people's attention to that and say, look, the same kind of reasoning you went through when COVID was presented, that's really true of all these kinds of ailments.
Where can people read the analysis that you wrote, Matt, and support your work?
If you go to peoplespolicyproject.org, it's, I believe, the first post on the page, or maybe the second post. And if you'd like to support the organization, there's a little tab at the top that says support, and we are funded by small donors who provide money on ActBlue and Patreon. We don't take money from corporations or foundations, only small donors. So,
Thanks so much, Matt, for joining us today, and good luck to you.
thank you.
My guest is Matt Brunig, president of People's Policy Project. He was previously a lawyer at the National Labor Relations Board and a policy analyst at the Demos think tank. We've been discussing his recent analysis of the CBO study of the costs of Medicare for All. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Do follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.